Wow, you can't beat this weather, can you? Almost 70? I think actually over 70 degrees today in Tucson. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, December the 12th, 2013. Rose, do you know what day today is? It is the Virgin of Guadalupe Day, an important religious and cultural day in Mexico and in many parts of the American Southwest, including here in southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is live, 12:04 to 1, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's also southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, a station with very good reach. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and what that means is you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world. And our podcasts on buckmastershow.com and tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com. So the program is available certainly by podcasts also at any time. We have a very busy noon hour as well. Sharon Bronson will be our leadoff newsmaker interview today, Pima County Supervisor, 20 minutes past the hour. Talk with local Tucson art icon Diana Medeiros, 30 minutes past the hour time for the annual Southwest Books of the Year contest. We will talk with two of the judges about this year's top picks. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line is now open for you at 790-2040, and we also invite you to be a friend of the program on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson. Ms. Bronson represents Pima County government on the board of directors of TRIO, the area's economic development agency. Supervisor Bronson, how are you today?
I am fine, Bill. I hope you are the same.
Doing well?
Lovely weather.
Oh, it's very beautiful. Beautiful day here. Since we have so few locally based public companies, and really Unisource Energy, the only Tucson-based company traded on the New York Stock Exchange, it's important news to everyone that TEP is actually going to be bought out by a Canadian utility. Sharon Bronson, is it your understanding, though, that TEP and Unisource will continue to be headquartered in Tucson?
It is my understanding, and I think that's good news. I think the other thing that it shows a trend. This isn't the first time that another entity has tried to buy out Unisource TEP. I think since I've been on the board, this is the third or fourth time that that this has occurred. And I think this is the first time, though, that everything's, you know, at least we'll still have the local connection. But it's certainly the global trend. Energy is a very interesting commodity, and certainly from a global perspective, how we wheel the energy and who gets it is going to be important as we try to grow the economy both locally and globally.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's worth $4.3 billion. The company based in Canada is a utility company known as Fortis Incorporated. Let's talk with Sharon Bronson about economic development. When you think of economic development in this community as a three-legged stool, of course you have Raytheon, the University of Arizona, and Davis Mountain Air Force Base. What can we do, Sharon, to help encourage Raytheon not only to stay and be a very wonderful partner like they have been, but how do we expand them here locally?
I think we definitely need to keep them here. They are the major employer, and I think we do that by building the infrastructure they need near their facility. And it's really all about infrastructure. I think you said a three-legged stool, Bill. I think there's a fourth leg to that stool. given our proximity to Mexico, and that is the port of Tucson. We need rail and truck freight there because this is going to be, as again, we enter this new global economy and we look at the Canamex corridor and look at moving goods and services, we're going to need that port. And I think we've already gotten a Tiger grant. So I'm pretty excited about what both the county is doing for Raytheon, Port of Tucson, and Davis-Monthan, because it's really all about infrastructure.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I would prefer a four-legged stool to a three-legged stool anyway, so I will gladly accept the fourth leg of the stool, and that being Mexico-related infrastructure and economy. We've heard so much about this new interstate, I think it's called I-11, but what can we do that would be timetable-wise much sooner to connect our two interstates, I-19 and I-10 here near Raytheon?
And I think the I-11, you're right, the I-11, the dream or what the State Department of Transportation is proposing is not funded. It's not funded in the near future. But what we need to fund in the near future is that interstate connection between I-19 and I-10. And there are several possibilities. I think part of the problem is if you're traveling I-19 and there's any kind of accident, you're stuck. So we need an egress that connects I-19 east of Tucson into the Raytheon DM Port of Tucson connection, and I think that we as a region can do that either through a bond packet or through working with a public-private partnership to make that happen. And I'm hopeful if we have the energy and the drive forward that we can do this with partners in the next 5 years because this is really going to be a key economic development opportunity.
See if we can work a question here. Matthew is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Matthew. You're with Supervisor Sharon Bronson.
Supervisor Bronson, I completely agree that the fourth leg needs to be spoken to as the Port of Tucson. But a part of that also involves the DeConcini and the Nogales Port of Entry, and we've been talking for almost a year and a half, 2 years, that they improved the access there. They invested in it with the federal government, but they still have not assigned customs officers to alleviate people crossing into the U.S. The other part of that is an access road. I believe the mayor was talking about that this morning. That they need to they're working on an improved access road through the port there. Could you speak to that at Nogales? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, and you're right on the money. If we don't have that piece in place, the access road from I-19 over to Raytheon and east probably will be nice, but it certainly is not going to be as effective. Now, that's all in Santa Cruz County, but we are partnering through the U.S.-Mexico Border County Coalition with Santa Cruz County to try to elicit from our representatives, our senators and congressmen in D.C., the kind of monies we need to improve, and with the Department of Homeland Security, to improve the flow of goods and services at the port of entry. And I appreciate your comments and would appreciate actually your helping us and contacting our federal officials and encouraging them to make that a reality, to fund it properly and to staff it properly.
All right. We're going to have to go very quickly, but I do want to add an area that you're very concerned about, as am I, Pima Animal Care Center. They have taken another emergency step to relieve overcrowding. Is this right? All adoption fees now are being waived in December?
All adoption fees for dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens are being waived. And as we're building the new facility, the new kennel facilities for dogs, we certainly are soliciting at this point in time some donations from folks here in Tucson and Pima County. We need blankets, towels. The facility is going to be an outdoor facility. We need to keep the animals warm, so any blankets, towels, gently used or new, will certainly be welcome. Again, any pet beds, and certainly any kind of treats, with the exception of rawhide treats for both the dogs and cats, we will gratefully accept. So as you're looking to your year-end charitable donations, we encourage you to do it with PAC through your donations. So thanks.
Well, the Pima Animal Care Center has made great progress over the past year, and I, for one, applaud them, and I know the supervisor are very happy with the direction as well. Isn't that safe to say, Sharon Bronson?
Yes, it is. And again, Bill, I appreciate your advocacy as we try to move to a no-kill center, and we'll need the public support.
So okay, Sharon.
Thank you.
Sharon, thank you very much. I hope you and yours have a great holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Artist Diana Medeiros is equally well known for her bold, colorful artwork as for her generous charitable giving. Diana Medeiros owns two galleries in Tucson that feature her work exclusively. She is president of the nonprofit Art for Animals Foundation, a charity she founded in 1999 to help abused, injured, and orphaned animals. Today is a big day for Diana and the Medeiros Gallery at Skyline and Campbell. Diana Medeiros joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line from the Skyline Gallery. Diana, how are you?
I'm great today. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. And tell me about what's going on today at the gallery.
Well, we're calling this our radio day. And we have some incredible specials for listeners of KVOI and KCEE. And we welcome everyone to the gallery. Guinness has prepared some wonderful food. We have a wheel that if you make a purchase of $50 or more, you spin the wheel and you get a free gift. And we have holiday shopping, ornaments, paintings, prints, glass cutting boards, 30 different gift items, lots to see here.
You are like an icon of the Tucson art scene, Diana Medeiros.
Aww.
And your art, really, you decided to go full-time as an artist, I guess, in the 1990s, is that correct?
20 years ago.
Yeah. How did all that, what changed your life specifically? What was kind of the tipping point to go full-time into art?
Well, two things happened. I was on vacation and saw another artist's work and decided I needed to paint again. I had stopped painting after college when I got busy with my sports marketing career. So I came back to Tucson after that vacation and I started painting at night and on weekends. And then the second thing that happened, a professor from the University of Arizona named Chuck Albanese saw my work, and he said, I take a group to Greece every summer for a month to paint, and you're going with us. And I said, no, I'm not. I can't do that. And he was relentless, and he talked me into it, and I went on that trip, and that trip changed my life.
As a young woman, were you involved in art, or was this something?
You know, I've always had what I call a creative angst. There was always, you know, I always wanted to do something creative. I wrote a lot when I was young. My mother thought I should be an author, but I couldn't see that for myself. I tried all kinds of different creative endeavors, and I did paint in high school and college. I got absolutely no encouragement. Never thought in a million years I would be an artist. But I just loved doing it. So when I took it up again, I was just doing it for fun. And when I came back from Greece after painting for a month, I realized how happy I was, and it was euphoric every day. I couldn't wait to get up in the morning and paint. I would think about paintings all night long. I didn't sleep. If I could find anyone to talk about painting, I'd talk to them about painting. And it took me 3 years to put it all together so I could sell my marketing company and really believe that I could, make a living doing that. So it was a help from a lot of different people, and it's just been super. We started with 100 customers at our Broadway gallery 1999, and today we have 25,000. So it's been a remarkable, remarkable, joyful journey.
Artist Diana Medeiros is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and your art is really carried into homes around the world. So I think what you're doing, painting in both watercolor and acrylic, it's a diverse portfolio with so many of these brilliant desert landscapes. It really sends the message, doesn't it, of what we are all about here in Tucson around the world.
Well, that's true. Every time someone passes through Tucson and they want a memento of their trip, they bring a little bit of the desert home with them via artwork, and that lives on. And I'm so happy and joyful to live here, and I think that comes through the painting. And that's what people say when they come into the gallery, that they look around and say, oh, this art makes me happy. And then I know I've done my job. So our mantra here is color and joy.
I strongly suggest that our listeners drop by. You're going to be there till 7 o'clock tonight, and perhaps people are looking for holiday gift cards. Or really, Diana, there are items in all price ranges, correct?
Yeah, you can buy something for $15 all the way up to an original painting for that really special. And I'm very happy to sign anything that anyone would like to purchase today and make it a little bit more special.
How do you juggle being the businesswoman? I know you have the marketing background, the sports marketing. How do you juggle that with the creativity side that really requires kind of, I assume it requires kind of quiet and concentrating on your art?
Right. That's my constant. That's my real battle is actually time.
Yeah.
Trying to run the galleries and paint the inventory. But I do paint at home because there are too many distractions at the gallery, and I just treasure my time in the studio.
Do you prefer watercolor, or what is your preferred medium?
You know, I like variety, and you'll see that when you come into the gallery because there are many different subject matters that I paint. People think I just paint the desert and gate scenes, but if you come into the gallery, you'll see many, many more subjects. And that's because I like to keep myself interested. So if I've painted a lot of desert scenes, then I like to paint, a horse. Or I grew up in a veterinary hospital, so I paint a lot of animals. Or a floral scene. They're very free and fun and loose, as opposed to a figure or a portrait. So like subject matter, I like to change up mediums, too. So I like both, watercolor and acrylic. I can get different things from different mediums. Watercolor, you have to be very spontaneous and not make any mistakes. And acrylic, you can manipulate the strokes a little bit more, and you can cover up your mistakes. And they give different feelings. So I'll look at a scene and I'll think, well, that's going to be a watercolor, or this group of horses is perfect for an acrylic.
Well, I want to applaud also the Art for Animals Foundation, a charity that you founded, and I know a trip to Africa was very instrumental in your love of the African wildlife. It was, I know, in my life as well, and I became very active with the African Wildlife Foundation, and I applaud what you do to try to help abused, injured, and orphaned animals. So certainly animals are one of your subjects, right?
Yes, and I was supposed to be the veterinarian in the family. I'm the firstborn. But I, growing up literally with one door separating our apartment from the hospital, you do see all the trauma and the sad things. And I was so sensitive that it was often very difficult for me to see what I saw at the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided I would try to help animals in a different way. So when we founded the gallery, or when we started the gallery, I started the foundation with the hopes that we could use the art to raise money to help animals. So that's my way of helping the animals.
We had a quick question from a listener. Diana, do you do any outreach with young people to teach them about art?
You know, I don't have time to teach, and I've just made that choice that I'm not going to be teaching either adults or children. We do donate a lot of work to schools for them to raise money for their programs, But I'm one person, and I have such limited time as it is that that's not possible for me, so we try to help in other ways.
And you have helped in other ways. With the Boys and Girls Club, you've donated thousands of dollars worth of paintings and art gifts to that organization's annual auction. And I really appreciate what you do, Diana Medeiros, for this community. Thank you very much, and you'll be up at the gallery till 7 tonight.
That's correct.
You want to give us the directions to the gallery at Skyline,
sure.
Please?
We're right at Skyline and Campbell on the northeast corner, and we are the gallery right on the corner, and it's the opposite end of the center from Acacia.
Okay, and we'll also send people to your website, Medeiros, MADARAS.com. Thank you, Diana.
Very much.
Thanks a lot.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Now, Speaker John Boehner is defending a budget agreement that some conservative groups have attacked before it even was made public. Boehner telling reporters today that those critics have lost all credibility. Budget plans expected to win approval in the House later in the day. Senate Democrats continue their march ahead with confirmation votes using new rules that limit the ability of Republicans to block votes. They've approved more federal judges today and confirmed a member of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Officials in Yemen say a U.S. drone strike has hit a convoy heading to a wedding party, killing at least 13. This happened in a city that's known as a stronghold of al-Qaeda. One official says that some of those terrorists are suspected to have been traveling with the wedding convoy. On Wall Street, the Dow down 61 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they save money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Southwest Books of the Year competition began in 1977 by the Arizona Daily Star and continued in the year 2000 by the Pima County Public Library System. The Southwest Books of the Year Best Reading Publication is published by the Southwest Literature Project of the Pima County Public Library in partnership with the Friends of the Pima County Public Library and the Arizona Historical Society. Books selected by two or more of the five reviewers become a top pick, and this year there are seven top selections, which we will be discussing over the next half hour or so. Two of the five reviewers, who are Southwest subject specialists and voracious consumers of Southwestern literature, join me now on the Buckmaster Show here in studio to talk about the cream of the crop of this year's submissions. Dr. Bruce Dingus is with us. Bruce is Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society. And Christine Wald Hopkins, Chris, writes book reviews for the Tucson Weekly and teaches composition at the University of Arizona. Chris and Bruce, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Bruce, let's talk a little bit about the overall selection this year.
Well, I've been doing this for, I guess, 27 years now, and I've never had a bad year for books, and this is no different. This every year is full of surprises, and I think we've just got an outstanding selection of books this year. Fewer than we have in the past, but that may be more to the speak more to the fact that we've all sort of agreed on what were really the first rate books this year.
I mean, I can remember some years when there were 13, 14, maybe even 15 top picks. I think you can remember some of those.
I can, and I expect that's going to happen. I expect that's going to happen again. Like I say, the top picks this year were just really an unusual group of books.
Chris, what was your feeling about the overall number? Were there pretty much several hundred books as usual entries?
There were. Maybe 120 or something like that, maybe. And I was not. I came onto the panel late, so I was not able to read all of them.
So you had to kind of do a hurry up.
I did.
Rush job.
Sort of a bit of a catch up, but it was quite a pleasure to do that. I think what's interesting about this is that the collection has a spread. There are a couple of memoirs. There's a little fiction. There's one work of naturalism or naturalist, and one absolutely terrific account of. Well, we'll talk about it later.
Okay. But well, we'll kind of go through alphabetical order here of the seven top picks. Baja California Missions, In the Footsteps of the Padres, the photography by David Burkhalter and Mina Sedgwick, the two photographers, and the foreword by the renowned historian Dr. Bernard Fontana. This is a University of Arizona Press, and the nice people at UA Press sent me a review copy a few days ago. I had a chance to look this book over, and I would definitely, I didn't get a chance to see the other entries, Chris, but it looked like a winner to me.
I loved this book. I loved it. And what I like particularly about it is that it has the qualities of a kind of coffee table book. It has beautiful photographs. I'll describe overview in just a second, but it has as beautiful photographs, but it also has instructions on how to find these. The book is about the 8 remaining missions that were established in the 18th century by Jesuits, sort of following the conquistadors in Baja California. There were 34 initially established, but most of them were sort of washed away by adobe. But what remains are these 8 stone missions. And Burkhalter and Sedgwick have traveled, I think, 3 or 4 times to Baja, taken photographs and described what they've seen there.
Yeah, they're really beautiful photographs, Bruce, and some of these areas not that easy to find. And we know, of course, of the 21 missions in California. I've been lucky enough to visit many of them. They're beautiful structures, and as you know, many of them have been restored. I was not familiar with the Baja missions.
I think that's true of a lot of people. We just, because they're south of the border and not as accessible as the California missions, a lot of people, particularly Americans, just don't know about them. And I would echo what Chris says. David Burkhalter is just an astonishing photographer. The black and white images in there are just a beauty to behold. And I'd also put in a plug for the Southwest Center and Joe Wilder and his crew, because I think, and I've got it, most of the Southwest Center series of publications, and that on your bookshelf again is a great combination of really, really first-rate history and archaeology and terrific book design. This one designed by Bill Benoit, spectacular.
Baja California missions in the footsteps of the Padres. This was one of Chris. This was one of your picks, and David Laird, one of the other judges, also agreed that this should definitely make the list.
I recommend it to anyone I can see. It's also very affordable, which I think is lovely, and because it has maps and directions on ways to get to the missions and architectural plans so that you can figure out what the layouts were.
Be a great trip.
It would be a great road trip. It does. Invites you on the road, and that's really one of the reasons I really liked it.
All right, that's Baja California Missions. Let's move on now to the Emerald Mile, the epic story of the fastest ride in history through the heart of the Grand Canyon. This particular book, all 5 of the judges, Bruce Dingus, Bill Broyles, David Laird, Chris Wald Hopkins, and Helene Woodhams, all selected this book as a top pick. What did you like about it, Bruce Dingus?
Everything. and I think that's true of everyone on the panel. It's the kind of book where you just, if you want to get a stand for it and just grip the armchair rests because you're in for a heck of a ride. In a way of disclosure, I knew Kenton Grua slightly, who's the central character in this book, River Runner. And I always was kind of mystified when I went on a rafting trip myself back in the early 90s when the guides heard that I knew Kenton. It was like, you knew the Pope. He's a legend on the river. After reading this book, I understand why. And it's basically the story of 1983 flood and the release of water pent up behind Glen Canyon Dam, which gave Kenton the idea and 2 of his buddies to launch a wooden dinghy into the Colorado and try to set a speed record, which they shattered.
3 daredevil boatmen try to shatter a record, which they did, you say.
And then on the other hand, it's also what Fidarco is really good about doing is building up the tension among engineers behind the dam, because it came incredibly close to bursting from the weight of water, and there was concrete shooting out of the sloughs. They had to put up plywood barriers. And so he takes a look from both aspects of this, the daredevil river rafters and these engineers who are fighting for dear life to keep the dam from bursting.
And the author is Kevin Fidarko, the publisher, Scribner. Chris, yes. What'd you like about the book?
Everything,
what Bruce says.
Exactly. And the book does a huge amount of background. We have geologic background. We have historic background. We have Major Powell running the Colorado in the early days, and then background of the construction of dams, not to mention the attempts of men, people, to control this huge Colorado River. And so it's a 400-page, I think close to 400-page book with a lot of background, but over the front of this, he runs what Bruce just described, these two terrific narratives of one of the daredevils being sort of bad boys trying to run it, and the engineers trying to control what could have been an absolute disaster. I had no idea that in 1983 there's a chance that all of it, much of central Arizona and California could have been flooded.
It's interesting. That was the year of the big flood here in southern Arizona, right, in October 1983.
That's why, because of El Nino.
Wow. All right. We're going to take a break right here. The first two of the seven books, we have more to cover when we come back after the break. The first two books, Baja California Missions in the Footsteps of the Padres, and The Emerald Mile, the epic story of the fastest ride in history through the heart of the Grand Canyon. We'll be back with our Southwest Books of the Year picks right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we talk about the Southwest Books of the Year. The top picks this year, there are seven. We have talked about two so far, Baja California Missions, In the Footsteps of the Padres, and we talked about The Emerald Mile, the epic story of the fastest ride in history through the heart of the Grand Canyon. With me in studio, Christine Wald Hopkins. Chris writes book reviews for The Weekly, and she also teaches composition at the U of A. And Dr. Bruce Dingus. Bruce is Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society. Our next book, Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club. This is a collection of borderland short stories about, Bruce Dingus, it was a once elegant Juarez bar called the Kentucky Club.
Yeah, and this is a collection of short stories. It won the Penn Faulkner Award this year, and Sines is one of those writers who has been terrific in every book he's written, and he's written quite a few, and finally he's come into his own with this one, and it's a collection of stories, and they all center around characters who are suffering from some degree of loneliness and alienation, and what it takes to break through all sorts of barriers to get out of that, and they're all connected by this bar on Avenida Juarez, and it's just a beautifully written group of books.
And Chris,
stories.
Bruce, that was one of your picks, along with Helene Woodhams, and then Chris, this was you made it a threesome on this, agreeing that this was one of your favorites. Benjamin Sines, the author. What did you like about it, Chris?
What I like about it is Sines's writing. We just went from a book that felt like we were being going over the Grand Canyon or through the Grand Canyon. This is a book in which you sit and feel a kind of sensitivity to language, to character, to kind of nuance. And he writes children's books and poetry, and you can hear that in the language that he gives his characters in dialogue. They are characters who have been hurt. Often, just out of neglect, or for parental,
they have emotional baggage.
They do. and there's some tragedy, but there's something about science that renders them a bit of grace in the end, a little redemption. No artificial sweet endings, but there's something about this that demonstrates that science cares about these people, he very much cares about Juarez and El Paso, and you can see that kind of split within the characters themselves.
It's nicely packaged as well, Bruce, and we should point out the publisher, Cinco Punto Press. I believe they're still Tucson.
They're in El Paso.
Oh, they're El Paso. I knew it was Southwest. Okay, next book, A Natural History of the Santa Catalina Mountains of Arizona. This is a book that the foreword is by Bill Broyles, who was one of this year's judges as right. well. So this is a natural history book, but due to a shortness of time, I'm going to move right on ahead to the book called The Rules of Wolf by James Carlos Blake. This is by Mysterious Press, and the two of the five judges who liked this book as a best pick are with me in studio, Bruce Dingus and Chris Wald Hopkins. Chris, The Rules of Wolf.
It's a story of a young man, a 19-year-old nephew of the Wolf family of smugglers who live on the Texas-Mexico border, or they're actually on both sides. They're basically kind of bad guys, but they're bad guys with principles. And he kind of wants to jump the line, this young guy, Eddie Gatto, because one of the rules of the Wolf family is that that each of the soldiers, or whatever they're called, go to university first. Well, he joins a cartel in Mexico instead, gets himself in trouble, and then actually has to set he sets in motion a kind of Mexican cartel against the Wolf family as he and a young girl try to race up through Mexico to escape into the U.S.
Sounds like a thriller.
It is a thriller.
Bruce?
It is a thriller.
I'm a huge fan of Blake's, and this book is, there isn't a wasted word in it. It's one of the most perfectly paced thrillers that I've ever read. Just a terrific read.
All right, that's The Rules of Wolf. Simple Dreams, a musical memoir by Linda Ronstadt, published by Simon and Schuster. Chris and Bruce, again, both of you agreeing that this was a top pick. Go ahead, Bruce.
I was surprised by this book. Rock memoirs don't recommend themselves to me much, and I was expecting, you know, a tell-all or something like that, and it's not at all. I was just blown away by this book. It shows Linda Ronstadt in her own voice as a consummate artist, someone who's always pushing to do better. And her recollections of family in Tucson, of rock stars that she's known and worked with, her musical progression, it's just really, really for someone who appreciates the craft of musicianship.
She didn't have a lot of nice things to say about the late Jim Morrison, did she? Did she, Chris?
She did, yeah. But that was just a short page and
yes.
a half or something.
Okay.
Yes,
you liked this book very much. You were telling me.
I did. I liked it. I like the fact that you can hear Ronstadt's voice in it. She didn't hire someone to write it for her. I like the fact that she can write about her friend, her elementary school friend Patsy, and she will occupy the same kind of space as Emmy Lou Harris or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. She is a woman of Tucson. She embraces her family. She embraces her musical roots, and I think this is a sort of a lovely book to demonstrate that, you know, someone who comes out of Tucson can still be part of our community.
Simple Dreams, a musical memoir by Linda Ronstadt, published by Simon & Schuster. Our seventh book and our seventh pick, Son of a Gun, a memoir by Justin St. Germain, published by Random House. Bruce Dingus likes the book.
I just love it when a young writer just comes out of the blue and knocks your socks off, and he does it on this in this book. St. Germain was a student at the U of A, an undergraduate, when he got a phone call and found out that his mother had been murdered by her fifth husband in a trailer outside Tombstone. And if that doesn't capture your attention, nothing will. But what's really amazing about this is that he's got a really clear vision of his mother, as tragic as this is. And he takes that extra step of trying to put her life in context with the other people, these unmoored personalities that tend to congregate in Tombstone, and is able to even connect it with the myth of the Old West and Wyatt Earp that's brought up around Tombstone. So it puts it really into a larger framework, and like I say, it's so well written.
It just points out, doesn't it, Chris, that this is just such a rich area and has been for so many years for literature.
I love this part of the world for that. And I actually just read a short story that was in a recent collection by Justin St. Germain, in which he talks about Tombstone and brings that up, and we can see the wealth of the writers in the area.
Bruce Dingus and Christine Wald Hopkins, thank you very much for being with us and judging this year's Southwest Books of the Year competition. And Bruce, these should be available, the printed edition of the top picks at all the libraries.
Right, and let me put in a plug, too, for the Tucson Festival of Books, March 15th and 16th. A lot of these writers will be there.
Let me quickly go through the list. I know we are so short on time, but thanks, Chris and Bruce, for being with us. Baja California Missions, The Emerald Mile, Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club, Son of a Gun, A Memoir, A Natural History of the Santa Catalina Mountains, The Rules of Woof, and Simple Dreams, a musical memoir by Linda Ronstadt. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Always a lot going on in historic Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. You can find out all about Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. All of the fine places to stay, like Faywood Springs Resort and all the others, are listed at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by, we thank Culligan for that. All of our in-studio guests are given a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Thank you, Culligan. John C. Scott Show this afternoon, 3 to 5 here on KVOI, and Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, and we'll be back with you with Chuck Huckleberry at 12:04, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.